we present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Hello, allow me to introduce four friends of mine, John Amis and Frank Muir, versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. And to keep the score, our ombudswoman, Leonie Lawson. Oh, she's lovely. Right, some bold, glowing orchestral music to start things off. John, Sir George Shalty conducts the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in what? Stuff.
Well, I know that. It's the slow movement of his Concerto for Orchestra.
Whose Concerto for Orchestra?
Oh, his. Bela Bartok.
Bartok. Yes. Bartok, yes, that's right.
You thought you'd said it.
Yeah, I thought I'd said it, yes. I was thinking it, so I thought I'd said it. It's terribly sad because there's a bit just before that, which he put in, and it's from an opera which he'd written 25 years previously.
I know it.
You know it, Bluebeard's Castle. And he put it in because nobody ever performed this work towards the end of Bartok's life. He was in America, and he was really very, very hard up. And he put a little quotation from this, and they said, why did you put that in? He said, well, I'll never hear it again. Oh. So I thought I'd put it into this concerto.
Oh, yes. And I didn't play it. I didn't choose it.
Well, not that bit, no.
Frank, your turn. Here's Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross with the Count Basie Orchestra.
See you moving when the band is really grooving on the bandstand. People get to swaying and he really gets to playing to the grandstand.
Let me justify and tell you why he goes for dancing all the way. Tell me the silliest story.
Frank, why should that snatch of music remind me of the old Our Gang comedies, or for that matter, of Judy Garland's Sister?
I don't know your mental purposes at all.
The singer was Annie Ross.
Yes. Now, you're getting warm, you see.
I think.
What did Annie Ross do in her very much younger days? Apart from being Ella Logan's foster daughter.
And singing very well.
Well, indeed, yes, as always. And acting well, too, let's not forget.
I don't know. Can I hand this over to Dennis?
Yes, so
I'm sure.
Dennis, Our Gang comedies.
Well, she was in the Our Gang comedies with Spanky McFarlane, and I believe she sang The Object of My Affection in one of them.
As a kid, she was one of the Our Gang gang.
She was in a Judy Garland film called Presenting Lily Mars.
That's right, she played Judy Garland.
She played Judy Garland's sister.
I get the marks.
You get the marks.
I get the marks. Right, okay. Ian, your turn. Two seemingly disconnected musical pieces, but they have three letters in common. What is the connection, please, between this... and this? John's got it.
Yes.
This time John's got it.
A somewhat tenuous connection.
No, a very precise connection.
Well,
very precise.
I do know what the first one is.
Yes, you should.
Which I should. It's from Rossini's opera Le Cantorie.
Yes, the overture. Mm.
That's as far as I can go.
Well, Dennis can help you. What's the name of the Count?
Ori.
How do you spell him?
Oh, Kid Ori. Is it Kid
Ori?
Yes. Yeah.
The second one was Ori's Creole Trombone, was the second record you heard. Kid Ori, trombonist. So, the Count Ori and the trombonist Ori is the
Count. Count Ori. I always get a slight shudder when I think of that opera because it reminds me of rehearsing it when I thought I had really done somebody a terribly serious injury. In the second act, all the men are disguised as nuns and to get into this nunnery, and they have a great drinking scene, and there's a moment when the bottles all come up from the wine cellar, and I had the part of distributing these to the members of the chorus, all dressed as nuns, throwing them. And there was a dear man who was the sort of head of Glyndebourne Chorus called Harold Williams, not the Australian baritone Harold Williams, but a bass called Harold Williams. And just as I flung a bottle at one of these rehearsals, he looked away. And it caught him right on the temple at that actual spot where you just fall like a stone. And he lay completely unconscious, and I thought I'd killed him. Yes. It was a terrible moment, and fortunately, you know, he recovered after a while. Never bore me a grudge. But
opera, like war, is hell, isn't it?
But it was a very frightening moment, I must say.
Dennis, here's a song that tells a lie.
Just as long as there's fish in the ocean, and as long as there's birds in the blue, there'll be 48 states in the USA for me and you.
Dennis, which states made nonsense of that song?
Well, that would be the last two that joined, which were Alaska and Hawaii.
Hawaii, that's right. Yeah. Yes, they made the 50 states. That LP, did you recognise
it? No,
I
didn't.
Well, it's by a group called, an American group called The Characters. Mm. It's a collection of songs that the lyric writer later came to regret.
Yes.
You know the ones. This is one of my favourites from the same LP. Listen.
How I wish I was in Chicago on good old St. Valentine's Day. Remember the place where the boys used to meet, that dingy garage on North Park Street.
It's really sick, I'm afraid, but I wish I was in Chicago on St. Valentine's Day. I wonder if any other song titles that are better forgotten. Do you know any others? Anybody? No, never mind. Pass on. Questions about this and that. John, who wrote, and I quote his subtitle in English, a potpourri of songs in the manner of Supé? It's a piece you know by a composer, you know. Potpourri of songs.
It's not by Supé, is it?
No, later.
Can you give me a clue?
Yes, Gaudeamus Igitur is one of the songs.
More
than a clue.
Yes. So then it's the Academic Festival Overture of Joe Brahms.
That's Brahms, half a mark, I think. Yes, a potpourri of student songs in the manner of Supé was what he called the subtitle for the Academic Festival Overture. Frank, jazz musicians sometimes get together for what they call a jam session. Why jam? What's the origin of the term jam session?
Inserting a small caveat that origins are a minefield.
Yes.
And
they are.
A jam session is called a jam session because it seemed a good word to apply at the time. Because a lot of jazz musicians came and improvised, and they were there all together, hot, stoned, bottled. And it seemed a good word. And also jazz, jam is a word for a very happy occasion, very exciting.
Like sort of crush or something like that. Yes, I should have thought for jamboree, but Spike Hughes in an article suggested it was a get-together as in a traffic jam, which I've personally never thought to be the case.
No, don't go with that.
I think it preceded traffic jam.
Yes. Ian, from you, please, just the name that goes with this fine voice.
È tutta un'altra cosa, vedi il mondo color di rosa, quest'aria deliziosa,
Who?
Really, my favourite tenor, perhaps because it was records of his that were the first... I'm going to qualify that statement. Really, my favourite tenor was always John McCormack, but Beniamino Gigli was always a great favourite of mine.
Yes, that's who it was. Some time ago, I played you, if you remember, the end of Nicolai Gedda's recording of La Donna Immobile, in which he seems to be singing the words Elephant's Ears. Do you remember that occasion? Mm-hmm. Well, that song we just heard by Gigli is always known to Jay Kitchener of Bognor Regis as the Chewing Gum Song. Listen again. It's in the second line of the chorus. Listen.
Vuoi goder la vita? Vieni
fa chewing gum fun.
Thank you, Jay Kitchener at Bognor Regis.
Dennis, a technicality in your case. What can you tell me about A440?
A440.
Obviously, I can tell you nothing that would be of any help to you. I think it's the one that goes past Northolt, but I'm not sure. in musical terms, I don't know. Unless it's the sort of geographical location on the AA map of when you say, you know, you'll take the high road and I'll tack the low road. The low road you tack is actually A440.
That'll do me very nicely, yes. A, that note, 440 cycles per second. It's our accepted pitch for about the last 40 years or so.
On the A440 Northolt, it's 440 cars per second.
It's very nearly.
That really is a jam.
Yes, that is a jam indeed. There's a particular genre of piano and orchestra pieces that I've called, for convenience, the Denham Concertos. The films they made popular weren't necessarily shot at Denham, but you know the kind of thing I mean. It's a sort of musical genre. Can you identify them, I wonder? Indeed, can you tell them apart? John, which of them is this? Title and composer, please.
Right. Well, I saw a film once with that music in it, and I was working at a gramophone shop at the time. And a man came in who was a regular customer called Richard Adinson.
Oh.
And he asked to hear a certain record. I think it was España of Chabrier. And he went into his little cubicle, and out came this music. So I knocked on the door, and I said, "Excuse me, but you, that wasn't the record I gave you, was it?" And he looked rather shamefaced and said, "No, I've just got a test pressing, and I just wanted to listen to
hear it."
And so I said, "Ah, I saw the film. It is the Warsaw Concerto, is it not?"
Indeed, yes, by Richard Adinson. Yes.
And that was before he was rich.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Even.
Frank, this was one of the very first of its kind.
Slaughter.
Yes. On?
On the Avenue.
10th Avenue.
10th Avenue.
And the composer?
Ah.
Do you know?
What?
Rogers.
Richard Rogers. Richard Rogers, yes.
Will you note that, Dennis? It's the first time I've ever got Richard Rogers the right answer in a question in this program.
Right, yeah.
But was there a piano in that? Steve?
Not concerto-y, but similar kind of music.
Uh-huh.
But there's definitely a piano in this one for Ian. Ian, what's this and by whom?
You're quite right about them all sort of melding into one,
yeah,
all these two.
Aren't they similar? Especially when I play them. Yeah.
It's not Cornish Rhapsody by Hubert Bath.
No, it's more Italian than that.
Oh, yes.
Dennis, can you help him?
The theme from the Glass Mountain.
Yes, the legend of the Glass Mountain.
The legend of the Glass Mountain.
The composer.
Yeah. That was that Italian who did it, what do you call its films? Nino Rota.
Nino Rota, yeah. Legend of Glass Mountain. You just got it. And Dennis, yours, which you've probably arrived at by process of elimination.
Yes, we've cut out, it's either going to be Cornish Rhapsody or
Dream of All.
Clifford Evans and Sonia Dresdell.
Yes.
Remember Sonia
Dresdell? In?
The Dream of Olwen.
Yes. That was the one you were expecting.
Yeah.
The composer, please.
Oh. No, I can't remember the composer.
Anybody know, Ian? Mm. Well, that's the other half mark. You've dropped that then.
Yeah.
Ah, Charles Williams, the composer. This next round needn't detain us long, I think. Lines from songs, or words or syllables, but which songs? John, just a word. Eisel. Eisel.
Up the Eisel Tower.
Eisel.
Eisel Gersel Wummage.
Not quite.
It was on the Eisel.
Shall I give you the full word with its hyphen?
I think you'd better.
Eisel did Dan. Eisel did Dan.
It sounds like, what's his name? Thingamy Bob Gardner. Eisel did Dan.
Diddly Bob.
Yeah.
Can you know the song, Ian? This song? Eisel did Dan. Eisel did Dan.
Johannes a funny cool man.
Yes, it's from the old
Eisel did Dan. Johannes a funny cool man.
You always do. Susanna's a funny cool man. Susanna's a funny cool man.
There you are. Eisel did Dan. You see, you just said
no. I didn't say Eisel did Dan. No.
You said it's a reflex.
No, I think you got up wrong instead of up.
Oh dear. I dribbled the cue ball into your court, didn't I?
You did, rather, yes. Thank you. Or,
yes,
something.
Frank.
You've got a metaphor for me.
Yes. What makes a lady of 80 go out on the spree?
Alma's tune.
Not quite Alma's. Alma's tune?
A lady of 80
no,
go out
on the tune. It's Elmer's tune. Elmer.
Elmer?
No, Elmer's tune. Oh, E-L-M-E-R.
Elmer. Yeah, well.
You mean Abel was I ere I saw Alma?
No.
No.
Ian, why had you better watch your sister?
Why had I better watch my sister?
Yes.
Because yes. I haven't got a sister. But,
hey there, mister.
Hey there, mister.
You better watch your sister. Because
the fleet's in port.
The fleet's in, yes. Because the fleet's in.
The fleet's in.
Yes. Dennis, the darkest night would shine if you would come to me soon. You that's the statement. What is the question?
How high the moon?
How high the moon is the question. Yes, you got it. Memorable decade, the 60s. I mean the 1960s, not our 60s. Catchy tunes with elusive titles. Let's find out how elusive they were. John, I know your knowledge of pop music isn't exactly encyclopedic, but please name this and please nobody prompt him.
It suggests James Bond to me immediately.
That will do nicely. The James Bond theme, yes.
That's James Bond and Richard Rodgers. You'll be doing punk next.
Frank, 1969, the year Joe Loss. Title though is difficult.
Is it the Wheels Cha Cha?
Wheels Cha Cha. That's right. Here, 1960, and a great success for its composer.
This was a signature tune for a record program I once did, lovely song called, or tune called Forgotten Dreams,
yes,
by Leroy Anderson.
Leroy Anderson, yes, Leroy Anderson. Dennis, I think this one will really drive you mad. Try it.
But what is it called?
Yes, what is it called?
I don't know.
Transatlantic, somewhat religious?
Yes. No. I really don't know. I don't know.
It's called Manhattan Spiritual.
Was it really?
Great hit for Reg Owen and Eric Delaney as well.
Eric Delaney, yes.
Yeah. Let's try one on the audience. It's a bit earlier, 1956. What's this called? Anybody know?
Zambezi.
Yes, Zambezi, that's right. Two hit records, Lou Bush and another for Eddie Calvert. Just for once, we'll have a test of speed. I'm going to give you the name of a composer, full name. Beside me, Leonie, my faithful scorer, will instantly write down the name as I say it. The moment she's written it, she'll call out, stop. And before then, I want you to tell me how many letters there are in the composer's name as I read it out.
Speed writing test. Can you beat Leone?
So listen and think about the word, and then tell me as soon as you can, before she says stop, how many words. Either you get the point or Leone does. We'll see. Okay.
Am I allowed to write it down?
I suppose so. I think so.
Can I have Brahms?
No, I'll tell you who you've got. Right, John.
You've got Noel
and
Gay.
John and Leone, both ready? Right. Harrison Birtwistle.
Stop. 21.
You said stop, and it's wrong anyway. 18. 18 letters. And in case anybody's trying it at home, there's no H in Birtwistle. It's Birtwistle.
W-I-S.
I know you do. Yes, it's lovely. Right, Frank.
You're still friends, too, which is rather nice.
Yes. Frank, we've got the idea. Right, your name coming up. Here's Leonie with her pen poised. Domenico Scarlatti.
19.
No, 17.
So that's two to Leonie so far.
Ian, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you in the fine fettle?
Yes.
Right. Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco.
Oh, come on.
Too many.
Stop.
You're a joke.
Have a go.
Really?
25. 23. Another one to Leonie. And, Dennis, yours? Tennessee Ernie Ford.
17.
Nearly. Ah, you got in for nearly 18. Yeah. 18 letters.
How do we know that Leonie spelled them right?
Put a piece of paper underneath now.
Mario Castle.
Tennessee Ernie Scarlatti, she's got that.
I think I may have said
Domenico
this.
Domenico Birtwistle. Yeah.
May have told this story before, but Guy Warwick, the conductor, BBC Scottish Orchestra one time, and with great cunning, he arranged a programme on which the composers were Bax, Cui, Nin, Saw, and various other composers, all with three letters, names of the composers. He went away for his holiday, came back, and found the programme planners had found that there was about 6 minutes to go. So they put an extra item in. Comedy overture by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. He was furious.
Yes. All scoring aside, here are the four final songs. Frank starts us off with the story of what happened after the ball.
After the ball was over, after the break of morn, after the dancers leaving, after the stars are gone, many a heart is aching. If you could read them all, many the hopes that are vanished after the ball.
John has a lovely Schubert song about the pleasing colour of green in the rather greenish key of B minor.
Just as well Leonie's wearing green, isn't it?
Yes. Mm.
The Kermit's theme song.
I'll clothe myself in green, in green.
Why pay more?
Dennis, forsaking the Schubert repertoire, sings about Lovin' Sam.
People call him Lovin' Sam. He's the Sheik of Alabama. He's a mean love-making, a heart-breaking man. And when the gals go strolling by, boy, he rolls a wicked eye. Does he step? Does he strut? That's what he doesn't do, nothing else but. Could you cook like Lovin' Sam? You could have your eggs and ham in the finest kitchens down in Alabama. They say he hugs them, loves them, and pets them, then runs away and forgets them. They all love Lovin' Sam, the Sheik of Alabama.
And so to Ian. They didn't believe me, Jerome Kern's lovely songs. First sung by George Grossmith Jr. His father wrote Diary of a Nobody, and his daughter, I'm happy to say, is one of our regular followers in this programme, Mrs. Rosa George. So for her, indeed for all of us, they didn't believe me.
And when I told them how beautiful you are, they didn't believe me. They didn't believe me. Your lips, your eyes, your cheeks, your hair are in a class beyond compare. You're the loveliest girl that one could see. And when I tell them, and I'm certainly going to tell them, that I'm the man one day your wife will be, they'll never believe me. They'll never believe me. And from this great big word you've chosen me.
Remembering, of course, 4 marks to Leonie, but you'll never believe me, this week's victory goes just by a small margin to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiber.